You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. Remember, when you get in your car, just tell your smartphone or smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints to listen to the newest episodes on your commute to work or back home in traffic. I am your host, Ross Jackson, lead analyst for All Saints Considered, and as always, like to start off with a big thank you and welcome to our newest listeners, as well as to all of those of you who have been rocking with me for a minute. So whether it's your first time or your next time, know that I love hearing from everyone that tunes in, reads, and follows, so that you can hit me up on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. And of course, that ASC stands for AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news articles and podcasts for Saints fans by Saints fans. And I'm not really apologizing for this episode coming out so late on Monday because it's my birthday. So I was just kind of chilling throughout the day and wanted to give myself some time, but I'm still coming through. This does not count as Tuesday's episode. This is Monday's episode, and I'm going to be with you again tomorrow morning. Thank you to those of you who took the time to reach out to tell me happy birthday this morning as well. Much appreciated. I am very glad, grateful, and blessed to be able to celebrate my birthday with you all today. I have some news for you in terms of Saints moves that were made on this glorious Monday. Made some adjustments to the special teams coaching staff, as we expected, as well as re-signed some key exclusive rights free agents, particularly ones that serve in that special teams role. So we'll talk about that in our first segment. Then we'll follow up with some additional moves that I think that the Saints should be making coming up soon with players that are already on the team or expiring contracts with the team. And then, of course, we'll wrap it all up by taking a look at some of the biggest stories from around the NFL. We got all that for you, as well as a little bit of land yap, as always, right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. So the Saints have hired Darren Rizzi as their special teams coordinator, former Miami Dolphins special teams coordinator, held that job for quite a while. We'll talk about that in a second. I mentioned that this move was in the works around last week or so. So it's been about a week, and now it's finally official. As of today, the Saints' former special teams coordinator and really pioneer of NFL special teams play, Mike Westhoff, announced his retirement after assistants Bradford Banta and Kevin O'Day were let free. Darren Rizzi was announced today as the new special teams coordinator in New Orleans. He spent 10 years at the same position with the Miami Dolphins, working with former GM Jeff Ireland, who now, of course, is working with the New Orleans Saints, and he's been a big part of the incredible draft classes the Saints have seen over the last 3 or 4 years. I think he came in 2015, 2016. At one point, he was also working with Saints tight end and assistant head coach Dan Campbell when he was the interim head coach for the Dolphins in 2015. The Saints special teams unit was one of the best last season, according to both Pro Football Focus and Rick Gosselin, who does a yearly special teams rankings list. On both of those lists, the Saints ranked second, but that had a ton to do with their kicking and coverage stats. New Orleans had the fourth best field goal percentage, with Will Lutch drilling 28 of 30 field goals for 93%, while also placing fifth in yards per punt, with Morstead booting 46.4 yards per attempt. The Saints also led the NFL in punt coverage as well, with a league-leading 43.2 net yards per punt and allowing only 60, that's 6-0, punt return yards the entire season, least in the NFL and the fewest since the Falcons allowed only 49 in 2008. A big reason for those impressive coverage stats was also in Saints news today. Justin Hardy, special teams ace who excels particularly as a gunner in punt coverage, was also re-signed to a one-year deal. His return to New Orleans signifies positive direction for Darren Rizzi, who'll take over in 2019. Hardy was one of the NFL's best last year as a special teamer, and though he didn't end up in the Pro Bowl, certainly should have been there, one of the bigger snubs, even though it was at a small position, not really a small position, but a position that the general public doesn't pay much attention to. The Saints also picked up the tender on exclusive rights free agent long snapper Zach Wood, which might sound like a boring move, but with Will Lutz expected to re-sign, Hardy and Wood returning, Taysom Hill still on the roster, and Thomas Morstead still asleep in the locker room after punting only 43 times in 2018, the Saints are returning one of the NFL's best units and adding one of its best coaches as well. If the Saints really wanted to push it, they could go even further with these special teams moves by being sure to re-sign players like Chris Banjo and Craig Robertson, who both serve well on special teams coverage as well. But I think that they'll test free agency a bit to see who else could be added, what some other options out there might be. You've heard me talk before about Adrian Phillips, who is one of those really sort of explosive special teams players, was the AFC Pro Bowl special teamer, and is also a solid safety who can play in the box and would fit the Saints system. If he ends up making it to free agency, I could really see the Saints go after him, and in fact, my fingers would be crossed that they would do so. Now, with what the Saints inherently already have in coverage and kicking capability, what I'm hoping to see Rizzi bolster in New Orleans is the return game, particularly in the punt return side of it all, where the Saints averaged only 6.5 yards per punt return last year, 23rd in the NFL. Meanwhile, Miami sat tied at number 8 in the league with 10.5 yards per punt return. And as when it comes to kick return averages, the Saints and Dolphins weren't terribly far apart, 24.3, 24.1 respectively. However, Miami took far more returns out than New Orleans did, 39, as compared to the Saints 23. Now, Rizzi also had Jakeem Grant over in Miami to work with. So, you know, when it comes to return specialists as well, the Saints kind of lack in that capability, to sort of lack at that position. So hopefully Rizzi can help identify some talent there. I've also seen John Sigler talk a lot on Twitter, as well as through one of his articles, about how trading for Jakeem Grant could actually be a good move for the Saints to reunite the explosive returner with his former special teams coach. Now, it looks like New Orleans should maintain the same type of kicking and coverage excellence that they've shown over the last couple of years. So with the addition of Darren Rizzi can bolster the return game, it would be a huge boost for New Orleans, who have struggled in that area for quite some time. The Saints also made a couple of additional moves today in bringing back exclusive right free agent offensive lineman Cameron Tom and ERFA linebacker Vince Beagle as well, who also has some special teams capability. The Saints have started off their offseason strong by restructuring their special teams coach and, well, really their entire special team staff, and locking up some important exclusive rights free agents that impact that very same unit. What are some of the other moves that I think that the Saints could make with their existing and expiring personnel? I've got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, so stick around. Your team every day. So we just talked about some of the moves that New Orleans has already made to help maintain and hopefully improve elements of their special teams play, but what are some other important moves that the Saints should make in retaining or dismissing talent this offseason? That's what I've got for you here before we move on to talk about some of the big stories from around the league. And remember, if you want to listen to the podcast while you're in your car, do so, but stay safe by telling your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints or any of your other favorite podcasts here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, I've ranked these in order of importance in my mind, but I would love to hear what you think on this. So let me know on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC if you believe what the most important moves the Saints can make with this season's personnel and expiring contracts. So not free agents that they could sign, but what they should do with people that they've already got on the team, whether expiring or otherwise. For me, the number one move that the Saints can make this offseason with expiring personnel or personnel that's still on the team is a no-brainer, and that's re-signing running back Mark Ingram. Now, like I've always said, I wouldn't be upset with Ingram taking a big payday, considering, look, this would be his, well, more than likely would be his last big contract offer in the NFL. But if he's serious in the statements that he's made about wanting to stay in New Orleans, the Saints need to lock that up right away. Ingram and his complimentary attack beside Alvin Kamara helped the Saints move the ball so effectively on the offensive side and take some of the pressure off of Drew Brees, who'll be starting the 2019 season at 40 years old, 41, as we move through, and star wideout Michael Thomas, who claimed to O'Shea Jackson Jr. this morning that he's going to be going even harder next season than he did in 2018, which I can't even imagine. Ingram is also only 89 yards away from becoming the Saints' all-time leading rusher after passing Deuce McAllister already last season as the all-time rushing touchdown leader for the New Orleans Saints. That is not really just like a reason alone to re-sign Ingram, of course, but it shows that his attachment to New Orleans might not just be about the contract. Perhaps his legacy legacy in New Orleans, as well as his connection to the city and culture and team, can make up for the money that he might be able to get elsewhere. It's a business after all, as we're always reminded of every year when a beloved player leaves or gets traded, but his re-signing should be priority number one in New Orleans this offseason. Number two in my mind is re-signing Will Lutz. Including all of the news that I packed into the first segment earlier today, this feels really important to me, and basically it's already all but a done deal, but with the history of kickers throughout the Sean Payton era, it's an absolute blessing to have one kicker that Saints fans and the organization can rely on, drilling 28 of 30 kicks in the regular season last year, as well as 52 of 53 extra points. He's become one of the most accurate kickers that we've seen in a Saints uniform for some time, and I just don't want to risk having to go through the sort of gauntlet of kickers we'd potentially have to go through before we find another reliable kicker like Will Lutz. Third on the list for me is to re-sign Teddy Bridgewater on the cheap. I'm in the minority here, but if the Saints re-sign Teddy Bridgewater at an adequate price with little to no guaranteed money, I'd be looking to move him during one of the draft days in order to get back, really on the first draft day, in order to get back into the first or early second round to try to get some more impact players around Breeze, and specifically on the defense at the safety position. I know that this is unpopular, as many Saints fans have fallen for Teddy, and don't get me wrong, I'm happy to see him in a Saints uniform for the rest of his career. As long as that career is extended and effective, y'all know I was one of the first people out here talking about let's get Teddy to New Orleans. I was all about it, and I'm still all about it. But if there's an opportunity right now to do something to get the Saints back into that first round so that they can sort of enter back into that win now mode with the draft picks while they continue to build for the future, you know, that way while using free agency to fill needs that are present now, which is basically what the Saints always tend to do with their offseason, I have a lot of trouble saying no, let's not do that in favor of a, you know, quarterback that hasn't played for some time. Now, on the other hand, if they can get a very team-friendly deal with him and, you know, they feel like he can be the future of the franchise, like I said, I'm all about keeping Teddy in New Orleans, but I think re-signing him is the best way to start in either situation, whether it be maintaining him or moving him to move up into the draft. Fourth, I've got cutting Kurt Coleman. To me, Coleman has absolutely no place on this defense, and we saw that play out toward the end of the season, as well as when he only took 3 snaps total during the playoffs. His snap count dropped off to pretty much non-existent, and his play on the field never really improved aside from the one forced fumble that he had. His play style and lack of coverage ability don't make him a value in Dennis Allen's defense, while we already have Von Bell sitting there who can play in the box and has improved considerably in coverage, not to mention that the Saints would gain about $4 million in cap space with his release, with the Saints having just under $11 million to play with this offseason, some of which has already been used for today's moves, and another portion of that will go to rookies. Gaining a little bit of extra capital in the cap space is going to be a big-time help for the Saints. And finally, I think that the Saints should take a look at restructuring the contracts of Cameron Jordan, particularly extending him, Max Unger, who they need to really get extended anyway, and Teron Armstead. Extending these contracts will help them save money this season and will lock up for a couple of years through the Saints winning window if Breeze were to continue to play longer than expected. And honestly, regardless of Breeze's stats, maintaining core offensive linemen and a pass rush would set up the team in the future for success with Bridgewater if re-signed and retained, or any other young, talented quarterback that the Saints might draft or get their hands on this or next offseason. Armstead's health concerns may keep them from extending him, but certainly restructuring with his injury habits would be beneficial for the team. There are certainly other moves that the Saints can go ahead and make, like trading AJ Klein and or Andres Pete, which would save them some money in the long run while also gaining further draft capital, something that we can expect Loomis, Payton, and Ireland to do ahead of April or on draft days anyway. So if there are any other glaring moves that the Saints can make with their expiring contracts and in-house players, hit me up on Twitter at RossJacksonASC and let me know so that I can talk about those here on the show, ones that you really care about. And as for other moves being made around the NFL, we'll keep talking about those next, including the move that the Browns made today just when people were starting to like them. That's coming up right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Houdat Nation, I have a very important favor to ask you. We here at the Locked On Podcast Network would like your help. We put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and what you don't like. It should take about 15 minutes to complete, and by participating, we'll enter you in a chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. Just visit lockedonpodcast.com/survey to participate. That's lockedonpodcast.com/survey. We appreciate your feedback. All right, welcome back, family. Time now to talk about some of the biggest stories from around the league. So let's start with the big one from this morning. The Cleveland Browns have signed troubled running back Kareem Hunt. Hunt was released last season by Kansas City when a video surfaced of him kicking a woman last February, and he was also accused of punching someone a few months later in June. Reports say that he's been undergoing voluntary counseling for alcohol and anger management, and Dorsey and the Browns claim that there is going to be sort of a day-to-day process in which they'll have a zero-tolerance policy with Hunt as he works on gaining the organization's trust. And I have to say that I have a hard time believing that, considering that more than likely, they're going to be more concerned with his on-field play than his simple human nature, or at least I expect it to be that way at this point, and I would love to be proven wrong. But with players like Reuben Foster and Kareem Hunt continually finding themselves in positions on teams despite their actions off the field, you've got to wonder why the NFL spends so much time concerned with cases having to do with marijuana and not paying attention to things like physical, spousal, and domestic abuse. In cases like, for instance, David Onyemata, where had he been in a different state, and really honestly, even in a different parish in some cases, he'd not have faced any citations at all. But we as Saints fans are sitting here expecting Onyemata to be suspended for the opening of the 2019 season, while Kareem Hunt continues to find himself a job. Now, don't get me wrong, we can expect Hunt to be back on the commissioner's exempt list now that he's found himself on another club's roster, but really, we won't know anything else until the investigation closes, which is expected to close in a couple of weeks. So let me get off my high horse here. There's a lot of social justice implications here, you know, especially when you look at the Onyemata incident versus the Kareem Hunt incident and things like that. And maybe I'm just a fan scorned. But at the same time, let's talk about how this move, or really to move on, let's talk about how this move affects New Orleans. Though the Browns would take a bit of a hit for it, if they were to decide to part ways with running back Duke Johnson, since they have Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb on the roster, Johnson would be an excellent target for the Saints as a third option behind Ingram and Kamara, or could even be a solid choice if Ingram walks and goes to another team if the Saints decide to allow Kamara to take over the load as a number one option. Johnson could add some complementary ability in the backfield attack and also offer some return ability as well. With the news breaking that the Saints have brought on special teams coach Darren Rizzi, I'm sure he would leap at this opportunity. The Alliance of American Football kicked off this weekend and put on display that the city of Atlanta is just terrible at football in every league, getting blown out 40-6 in Atlanta Legends game against the Orlando Apollos. If you're looking for an AAF team to root for, I'd like to recommend to you the Memphis Express. They are the team designated to player rights for both LSU and the New Orleans Saints, so you can see familiar faces like Zach Mettenberger, Terrence McGee, and Sam Montgomery, among other players from LSU, and Davis Tull from the New Orleans Saints. You can also see a host of other former Saints players over on the Arizona Hotshots with Josh Huff, Obum Guachem, and Sterling Moore, while also catching Damian Swan and Shontavious Jones on the Birmingham Iron, who actually beat the Memphis Express in opening action. The downside to the Memphis Express, watching Christian Hackenberg continue to suck at the quarterback position. Trust me, he is still awful. Speaking of still being terrible, more lip service from the NFL commish Roger Goodell as he responded to Governor John Bel Edwards' letter that was submitted back in January following the NFC Championship game. Nothing really to report here, just more of the same BS from press conferences and delayed responses all around. But it's important to note that the AAF really showed excellent officiating and quality preserving measures this past weekend. So to me, despite whatever it is that the commissioner has to say, it's really up to the NFL to follow suit with what's been proven to work at the AAF level and implement it to preserve the quality of the NFL product. Important days coming up this month in the NFL include February 19th. NFL teams are free to start franchise and transition tagging players. And of course, February 26th marks the beginning of the 2019 NFL Combine. The invite list was published. You'll hear me talk about that later on this week. And don't forget to join Locked On Saints Facebook group this week, speaking of the draft, to participate in my live mock drafts. We'll do several with the group later this week. I'm hoping to do this Thursday or Friday. I'm planning for Thursday around 3 p.m. Central Time. So join the Locked On Saints Facebook group on Facebook, of course, to be a part of that. And everybody, that is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me on my very special birthday episode. Felt really nice to be here today with y'all. So as always, thank you so much, everybody, for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the podcast, and please take some time to review and rate. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast as well so you can catch all the newest episodes as they drop every Monday through Friday. Thank you so much for all your support and helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.
Hey everyone, Jake Madison here, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. Basketball season is upon us and big things are in store for the Pelicans after making the playoffs last year. Keep up with everything going on around Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, and the rest of the team with the daily Locked On Pelicans podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from.